There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
No, nothing on my phone.
I thought you were holding your phone in such a way, I thought you were about to play something.
No, I've just discovered the lunacy, which is Telegram, and I can't stop stop reading it. Telegram channels. Anyway, let's go.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. This is the second podcast. See, we don't only make sure. We're not content with being the only podcast that's there for you every Monday morning, 52 weeks of the year, for over 8 seasons and counting now. We sometimes like to make sure you have 2.
That's right.
Just so we can box off, you know, while everyone's only talking about the Six Nations like there's no other rugby that exists, there is a podcast that is also going to spend some time looking at domestic matters, at grassroots matters, and that's why we're here. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Tim.
That's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
And is there much rugby content on Telegram?
No, but maybe we should start a Telegram channel.
I don't know what Telegram is.
So Telegram is like a social... I guess it's a bit like WhatsApp, but then it's developed into something else, so you get these channels.
Kind of groups and channels and...
Yeah.
Kind of in WhatsApp fashion.
So the reason I'm...
Some let you reply, some don't.
Yeah, it's weird. So I've got onto a group which basically is about Ukraine. So, okay. You know, just basically like reports. And it's hard to say how valid these reports are, but there they are. You know, it's good to keep up with current affairs. There are also lots of other groups on Telegram, some of which would be considered conspiratorial, some which would not be considered conspiratorial.
Okay.
But what's interesting is people, now you've got the Telegram app, people start popping up. Someone's just joined Telegram. You think, oh, I wonder what conspiracy theory they're here for. So, you know, very respectable people. You think, oh, I wonder if they're down the rabbit hole too.
Too.
I mean,
it's mainly about 95% memes like that. For example,
let's see.
It's just
okay. Yeah.
It's just lots and lots of memes.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so there's yes. All sorts of shit.
That's
like
good.
That.
I enjoy. A meme as much as the next man.
It's not quite as curated as say the Twitter censoring. Let's put that.
That's true.
But yeah, maybe we should have a Telegram channel. For what reason? I do not know. What we put on it? Scores.
Memes.
Rugby conspiracy theories.
Rugby conspiracy. I've got plenty of them.
Yeah.
What is a rugby conspiracy? What would a rugby conspiracy theory be?
Owen Farrell hates Ben Spencer.
Owen Farrell hates Spencer. What has Owen Farrell said to keep Ben Spencer out of that team?
Actually, now we put it like that, there's been lots of those on this podcast over the years.
I don't know about you, Tim, but I think it's a bit suspicious that there's ring fencing this year. Don't you?
Well, on domestic matters, right, and one story, there was an RFU council or board or whatever it was, I don't know what the word is, meeting on Friday night. Within which, apparently, certain elements were kept completely confidential. I mean, the thought that the RFU might not be fully transparent in their communications is shocking. I cannot believe that I'm saying that. But one of the things that apparently is being floated, again, unilaterally, with no involvement in voices lower down and done in secrecy and with zero transparency, is to have Premiership clubs being allowed to have their reserve team in a kind of hybrid weird championship.
I've heard this and I hate it.
I hate it.
Why? Why? Why?
Why?
The
good part is that they're talking about a English Cup competition which involves Premiership A-sides, Championship and some other lower leagues.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Great, good.
That's good.
But a hybrid Championship League?
No.
What would that mean if Leicester Tigers A finish top, they get promoted to the Premiership, or do you then go down to the highest non-Premiership side? Or does this basically just mean they've already decided there is going to be no more promotion relegation and they've just decided that?
Well, would it not be similar, I guess, to how Spanish football works?
And I was going to say Barcelona B team playing... They play in the normal league structure, don't they?
They do, and obviously they don't get promoted because that would be ludicrous.
Have they ever been promoted?
No, I don't think so.
So if Barcelona B finished top, and then, I don't know, Osasuna or whatever were second, Osasuna go up to the...
I believe so. I believe that's how it works. I mean, I'd have to...
I don't know.
I tell you what I did do the other day. I was having my hair cut, and the guy cutting my hair, I just find him a little bit tiresome. So I went down the rabbit hole of reading about Deportivo La Coruña. Can you believe that they've gone from where they were to the third division of Spanish football?
Really?
Yeah, mental. So, yeah, I don't know his answer. I don't like it in principle. So something else similar has happened to this in the past, which is in Wales. So they had the regions, and below that is a Premiership, below that is a Championship. And, you know, it's all fairly good. And the problem came about if the regions had an A team. Well, what does that mean for the Championship? Do they play in the Championship? Do they play against the Championship? Do they play against each other? Is there then a Pro 14 A League? I think the squads are big enough as it is. Actually, they need. Well, if they say they need more players, they need to pay them more. You know, they need more money. But you can't say on the one hand you need more players and bigger squads and then operate two different squads. So no is the answer. You can't have your Premiership A team playing in the Championship. I think it's ludicrous.
Ludicrous is a word I would also use. And particularly, look at the Championship. And just let's just mention the Championship, which we were talking up last week. Two top-of-the-table games, first v second, third v fourth in the Championship, has left it in the most incredible fashion, because going away from home, Doncaster Knights won at Ealing. And Cornish Pirates snuck a win at home to Jersey, meaning the table is... Have you got it there, Phil?
I have.
Well, it's for Cornish Pirates to lose, is it not?
It is Cornish Pirates. It's within their control. So right now, Doncaster are top, but they've played two more games than Cornish Pirates and Ealing. So they're top, played 18 with 67 points. Cornish Pirates played 16, 63 points, four points down. And Ealing now find themselves played 16, 60 points, with Jersey Reds played 18 on 59 points. And you probably think that loss of Jersey away to Cornish Pirates probably takes them out of it.
Yeah.
Because they're behind Cornish Pirates and Ealing, who have both played two fewer games than they have.
Who would you... We've already talked about this, but as I understand it, Doncaster have been given... Again, this is something else which was meant to come out of the RFU council meeting and hasn't been widely made transparent or whatever, but Doncaster will meet the criteria for the Premiership were they to finish top. I believe that's the same with Ealing. Cornish Pirates will not. Wait, I hate that as well. I hate it. Just let the boys play.
Yeah, I agree. Completely agree.
And would you be bothered? I understand, you know, and I understand it from a broadcasting point of view. Would you be bothered watching on TV if you knew Cornish Pirates, okay, they've got their stadium coming, we're going to play a season or two at the Menai? I wouldn't care.
I think the problem comes when other owners have already made that commitment. That's the issue, isn't it? It's not maybe, what does it look like for the broadcasters? They'll say that is the case. But
if they've made a commitment for a new stadium already...
Yeah. Exactly. So
has it been built? Thing actually been built?
No, it's plans approved, funding in place, I believe, is where it is.
They have made that commitment.
I remember when my brother was at Nottingham and they were having a go at for the Prem. The Premiership told them, Meadow Lane, which is Notts County Football Club's ground. It doesn't meet the criteria. Something to do with the toilets. And the doors on the toilets. Legitimately, the rules were so stringent so as to be obtuse. And they said, no, Nottingham, you wouldn't qualify. Yet, the clubs that were already in the Premiership wouldn't meet the same criteria if it were applied to them.
Because
Edgeley Park at Stockport, Sale were using at the time, Edgeley Park when Sale were using it,
yeah,
wouldn't pass the RFU's criteria if they were in the Championship trying to come up to the Premiership.
Yes. I can see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I quite like that ground.
No, I like that ground. But my point being is it's just it's farcical the way it's applied sometimes.
Yes.
I don't know if that's still the case, but it was. It certainly was.
Well, and it actually caused issues because London Welsh, when they came up, ended up playing in Oxford, didn't they? Shortly before they were insolvent as an organisation. So it's not like that those rules have had great success for stability and continuity in the past.
Yeah.
That was a total disaster.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Better news.
Yes.
So just going down the leagues, the teams which we like to talk about. Tunbridge Judgeons scored a few tries. They did lose.
They did lose to Caldy, didn't they?
But on 29 minutes, Watson scored. I can only assume that his Egg Chaser's very own Hugo Watson. I think that's him. If not, it is very. No, actually, if it's not, we'll claim that Watson too.
Yes. Yeah, he absolutely. Can be one
of
ours,
so that's absolutely fine. Albion won last try of the game
against the club.
Get in the Albion.
Yes. Albion.
And an enormous result in the Northern Premier. In fact, a weekend of enormous results. Preston turned over Otley.
Nice.
Which is awesome.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Good work, Preston.
Well done, Arnie. Well done, Byron McGuigan, who guaranteed me on Friday they were definitely going to win. There was no doubt in his mind.
Nice. Very
so,
good.
Yeah, that actually blows it wide open. Macclesfield got a bit of a hiding at the hands of Blackburn as well.
There is
one other league, which I'm going to just find, which...
It's essentially won as well, importantly, against Hull Ionians.
That is a big game.
It's not Hull.
It's Hull and Hull, right. Hull Ionians. I think Hull Ionians are in about sixth. It's still a good win.
I do just want to flag up, again, Sedgley are in National 2 North. National 2 South, it's also hotting up and one to watch because there was a top-of-the-table clash.
Esher beat Redruth,
meaning Clifton are played 22, 85 points. Redruth are played 22, 84 points. Esher are played 21, 82 points. Worthing played 21, 82 points. So that is a proper bun fight.
Mm.
Crikey, yeah, it is. It is. Do we know what the promotion relegation situation is in the leagues yet? Preston are not convinced that they're going to go up. And I'm like, I'm not sure you are, boys.
I don't know.
No, I don't know. I'm not clued in enough. If you do know the answer to that question, email us.
It's probably different in different leagues. There are probably some that are fixed and some that are known and some that are probably still to be determined.
Yeah. So I shared a car journey with a good friend of mine over to Fleetwood last week. And he's like, it's so ridiculous. Why can't they just sort out the leagues? Like, no, it's really difficult. Because like, if you go up from a national league, like National 2 South, there's no guarantee to say the team coming down on a natural fit into National 2 South. So they've got to readjust these leagues. Like, national leagues are easy. One up, one down. Don't need to mess it about. When you start going down the pyramid, it becomes an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, and you can have a team, so a southern team getting relegated, that means a team that was previously playing in the south have to play in the north.
That's been the case. It was something like Macclesfield were in National 2 or National South. National South or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Macclesfield, it might have been Nuneaton or maybe somewhere further north, I'm pretty sure
there was a Manchester or somewhere near, not too far away.
I'll give you a good one, which is Rochdale. We're having to go over to the northeast to play their rugby.
Yeah.
Whereas we'd drive past Rochdale to go to Carlisle, because it must be that the teams in Carlisle, it's quicker for them to come to us than it is for Rochdale to go to the northeast. Something like that. Yeah. But Rochdale were the ones that missed out massively.
Yeah,
because they were going back
it's
and forth.
2 hour trip every 2 hour away trip
Percy
every
Park
week.
Or somewhere.
Well, it's hotting up in the Premiership as well, isn't it? But before we just get to that, it looks like Faf is going to be off to Japan.
Oh, is that confirmed?
Not confirmed.
I've not heard that.
But on the back of the rugby paper, and I'm pretty sure they mentioned it a few months ago. Alex Anderson is feeling what he calls the brutal effect of the salary cap reduction as he tries to finalise sales squad for next season.
That's nonsense, because he's a marquee player. So if they want to keep him, they can keep him. Mm. It's got nothing to do with the salary cap.
Yeah, but if...
Allegedly, he's a marquee player.
Yeah, so and they're dropping... There is a reduction in the marquee players as well, isn't there?
It's going from 2-1.
Yeah, but we also know, it's been widely rumoured, that Lude wants to go back to South Africa. So that's one gone. So if they want to keep Faf...
But they might want to, you might want to put an expensive player into your marquee position.
Who would that be?
Who would sell...
Manu!
Can't be Manu.
Imagine.
Can't be Manu for another 18 months or 2 years. Yeah. At least
Manu, come here. Let me give you some money. Yes, please.
So the salary cap, we've been talking about that. It's starting to bite, and juggling your squad is going to be tricky. Faf could be off to Japan.
It could actually be Tom Curry. Legitimately could be going into that.
Yes, that's a great shout.
England captain, Lion. Or Ben Curry. I mean, they're both basically the same player.
Do you know what they should think about doing? What they could do is put one player in a marquee, one brother in the marquee position, pay Tom Curry $1 million.
Go on.
Pay Ben Curry... 100k.
Yeah.
And what Tom Curry decides to do with his money, it's up to him.
Oh, yeah, they're both, well, as long as they're both in additional rate tax, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
It's not like, yeah, that's exactly what, that's a great idea.
I'm sure no clubs, particularly none around South Manchester, would ever consider anything like that.
They most certainly would not around South Manchester. I reckon another club that wanted to sign a pair of twins would certainly think about something like that. But, yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm.
Yeah, Tom Curry might be the answer, you know, because I was racking my brains and who would I give the marquee spot to? I don't think there's anyone at Sale that I would at the moment. George Ford is not
eligible for 3 years.
Manu, no.
And he's not eligible yet.
Yep. Rafi one day, but not now.
Yeah, Rafi could be one day, but...
So I think Tom Curry is a tremendous shout.
Mm.
Yeah.
Poor Ben Curry.
I know.
How's it gone so wrong?
I know.
Like, you must ask himself this all the time. How has it gone? What have I not got? I've got the genetics.
Tom Curry, over 40 caps for England now. That is gross. £1 million.
Yeah. I mean, you could accept it much more so if they were just brothers.
Yeah.
Not identical, genetically identical twin brothers.
Yeah, who do you think he is? Like Sam Orbison's twin?
Like, the physio.
Yeah, the physio. This is maybe Ben Curry needs to leave Sale, and that's it's not ideal for Sale. I mean, Sale have got a great deal. Ben, you're just not as good. We've worked out the monetary value between you and your twin. He's not. We know that's nonsense, by the way.
Oh, because he's available for every game as well. He's actually more valuable to Sale.
Yeah. Oh God. So yeah, he'll have to. Oh, I was going to say, it's not Johnny Hill either. Johnny Hill's another one.
Not available. Yeah.
So I wonder if...
Not eligible.
I wonder if that's Ben Curry. I wouldn't mind a little trip to someone like Leicester, you know. I can see him being an absolute Leicester hero.
Yeah.
And they've got...
Leicester would be a good shout.
Maybe.
You just mentioned a name which made me think of an email which we got sent. Christopher Johnson. Contact HSS@gmail.com.
Is this the one from the research scientist which you can't read?
No, that's very funny though.
It is very funny.
Yes, that is good. No, Christopher Johnston is a long-time listener and Exeter fan. Big fan of the podcast and of JB's opinions.
Oh,
he says, however, the pedant in me couldn't let this one slide. On last week's pod, JB said regarding Johnny Hill, quote, when he's been available, he's not been picked. This is an actual thing that no one's talking about.
Yeah, and I was like, really?
Well, Christopher Johnston has pointed out, Exeter have played 20 games this season, of which 8 Johnny Hill has started, 7 Johnny Hill has missed on England duty, albeit injured for some, 3 Johnny Hill has missed following the Lions tour, that accounts for
standout.
18 out of 20, 2 Johnny Hill hasn't been picked for, Glasgow on the 15th of Jan and Montpellier on the 23rd of Jan. If you believe mainstream media, this is after...
As if we believe MSN.
Come on. He says, this is after picking up a leg injury in the Quins game during the previous weekend when he was subbed early in the second half. Just wondering if JB's going to correct the record to, quote, when he's been available, he has been picked. This is an actual thing that no one's talking about, as it's not really very interesting.
if you want to go with the mainstream media... and the media industrial complex, please be my guest. Be my guest.
This is exactly what they want you to believe.
Well done for falling for it. I'm not even sure he did start, unless I've seen it.
He does say, Exeter, in fairness, don't pick players who are leaving the club. However, given other injury concerns, I'd imagine Johnny Hill and Sam Skinner will be integral through to the end of the season. Humour and holding JB to account. I like that email.
Love it.
Very good.
Even if it's, of course, wrong. It's fake news.
Look, we're all opinions.
And also a Jack Reacher email from Joe Nicholson.
Oh, I've got a great Reacher retype thing. Go on, please continue.
He said, on the question, what position would Jack Reacher play? I just wanted to add to the discussion that the Jack Reacher actor, Alan Richson, in the Amazon series, also plays Thad Castle in the college American football series Blue Mountain State, where he's a linebacker and team captain. Players with most potential to move from rugby to NFL, probably a question addressed before on the pod, but I wonder which NFL players you'd like to see switch. Yeah, he said he'd like to see Cam Newton pulling strings and hitting lines as the complete inside centre. That's a good shout.
It's a lovely shout, isn't it?
Lovely shout. Thank you for that. Jack Reacher, chat. Go on.
Yeah, Jack Reacher. So, obviously, Jack Reacher is based on Lawrence Dallaglio. I've been painting my boat this week. So, I had a week off to paint my boat. And I thought, I'm not going to listen to anything which is going to make me angry. So, I'm going to get an audiobook. And do you know what I went for?
Reacher?
No, Sharp.
Oh, okay.
So, are you familiar with all the Bernard Cronwell? Is it Cronwell or Cornwell?
I assumed they were books before it was the TV show with Sean Bean.
Well, apparently he rewrote some of the books to facilitate Sean Bean's Yorkshire accent. So originally he was meant to be from London, but they rewrote them to make him into Sheffield, and they got rid of his dark hair for Sean Bean's hair.
Nice.
Yeah, so Sean Bean...
That's quite cool.
Yeah. Anyway, he's called Sharp because apparently the author really enjoyed the Horatio Hornblower books, but couldn't think of a name. So as a placeholder, he used the rugby player Richard Sharp, and he never replaced it.
Really?
So Sharp is actually a rugby player.
That's great.
Barbarians,
I love it.
And a few others.
That's cool.
Mm.
That's
so
really
we've got
cool.
Lawrence Dallaglio, and we've got Richard Sharp.
Nice.
Very good.
Both war heroes.
Mm. And Reacher, definitely a war hero.
Definitely, definitely. So who watched what in the Premiership?
So I watched Friday night.
Yeah.
Today's game.
I desperately looked around for a stream for London Irish Sale London Irish, and I couldn't find one.
Well, I tell you, I looked at that match.
I was just going to say, it's probably not operational now, but Premier Rugby, they recently announced that they're going to be streaming all games.
It is operational.
Is it?
And the reason I say that is because on the highlights package, it's got commentary and it says if you're joining us on the app.
Yeah, it is. Premiership Rugby TV, you can pay, I think, basically
£4.90
for a game.
Yeah, £4.90.
There must be some media access if we count as media.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
Do you count as media?
It's not so much do I count as media, it's more
who you'd have to ask.
Is Paul Morgan going to look kindly on my request? Harlequins aren't talking to me at the moment. I'm not sure that the Premiership are. So I'll have to... it'll be a bit tricky, that one.
Well, I wanted to get to Sale, but I couldn't.
Mm.
I was
too busy painting.
No, I was taking Louis to it was a load of Sale Sharks coaches that probably wanted to be at the ground as well.
Oh, the DPD?
The DPP thing.
DPP, sorry, yeah. It's really good, that. Isn't it?
It's really good.
It's an excellent scheme. Yeah, I looked at this game and I thought it was a toss-up. My betting this week was absolutely horrendous. I only got three games right. You never get a draw right. This is the second draw these two teams have had.
Third draw London Irish have had all season.
Saracens, Exeter, Sale twice.
Oof.
Wow.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And some of the tries Irish scored were monumentally good. The Hepatimo one is it's out of this world. I think, did Stokes get one, which is pretty cool?
I've not seen the highlights of this.
Yeah, you want to watch the Hepatimo one. It's absolutely awesome.
Paddy Jackson could have won it at the death, but it was a long-range kick. Did manage to get it. 27 all. Just makes that league even more interesting. Both teams get 3 points out of it as well, which they're probably quite happy with.
Aaron Reed scored again. Seems that he's completely confounded all of my early expectations of him. He looks awesome. Although, I've got to say, Sale have got a little bit of fragility in defence. They are falling off tackles. They're not physically big out wide. Whereas the pack is still enormous and likes to bang.
Like, yeah.
There is a little bit of weakness out wide now.
Out wide. Yeah. Was it Roebuck on the other wing?
Good question. Can't tell you off the top of my head.
It was, yes.
Yeah.
So, and McGuigan came on for Roebuck with 20 to go.
So they are, at the moment, Sale, being very unsailish, in my opinion. Which is, if you remember coming up towards the playoffs last year, it felt to me that there was not a consistent team. They were always chopping and changing. They were rotating a lot. A lot of lads getting a lot of opportunities, kind of Saracens-esque in a lot of ways. I think they've put that in the bin. I think it's just they just can't get away with it. The squad isn't big enough. It isn't good enough.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be if you stick to the rules. So they have stuck to the rules, and I think you can see the consistency now, and it's made a hell of a difference, particularly to the young lads on the wing. Even Rob Dupria is playing better.
Yeah. I'm still not entirely convinced of him as outside centre, but he's not been playing that badly.
Yeah.
And it does feel a bit weird, though, to have him at 13 and Sam James at 15.
I think Sam James is such good. I mean, it's heartbreaking almost because I like Sam James so much.
Mm.
But, hey, the boss says what the boss says, so go with it.
Yeah.
And they're nearly winning. They're not losing.
No.
How does that...
So and they're in the hunt for the top four, so they're in 46th in 7th place. Yeah.
That said, this draw is a big deal, because they need to be on a run now.
Yeah.
It's getting increasingly time-sensitive with the playoffs looming. They'll be on us in absolutely no time, so they need to get winning convincingly.
Most teams have got 7 games remaining, which is... They've got time, and Sale are only 4 points off the top four, so... They are in the mix. Sale are in the mix. Gloucester, losing this week.
Albeit they've got a game in hand, which if they were to win that in any fashion, they would be into the top four.
Yeah.
But another defeat, George Skivington says they've got big lessons to learn.
I think George Skivington's absolutely right. I had Gloucester to win this, and at half time I think they went in ahead. Now, the thing which I think about this particular game is that Leicester are racking their brains, I would say, because George Ford is out, in is coming Andre Pollard, and Andre Pollard is not a brilliant rugby player. He's a brilliant rugby player,
but he's
not a brilliant rugby player.
He's a different type of player to George Ford.
Yeah, which probably accounts for why Montpellier like him at 12. So, at the moment, Leicester are going pretty nicely with Freddie Burns at 10, who was the last fly-half to take him to the playoffs. And the way he's playing now, he might be the next fly-half to take him to the playoffs. So if Leicester are trying to, square the circle by saying, we'll have Pollard plus a pair of hands, say if they wanted to, say, have a Mark Atkinson or someone like that to pair up with him, maybe they don't go down that route and instead move Pollard out one and stick with Burns.
Yeah.
Because I think Burns is looking good.
Something to be said for having flexibility and options.
Well, talk about options, right? On paper, is there a better set of scrum halves than what Leicester have at the moment?
Wigglesworth, Portfleet.
Was 5 times champion, the most capped England player ever.
Yeah.
And then the guy is probably better than both of them.
Yeah.
So they're looking all right.
Yeah.
They certainly are.
Dan Kelly as a 12. I don't like the idea of moving Dan Kelly to accommodate Pollard, because Dan Kelly's such a good
They're expanding the Premiership, so there's going to be even more games.
Two games.
And Europe.
Unless they start doing... I think they've got to try and reduce the number of fixtures.
Rob Baxter was making this point, that it's...
They've
cut the salary cap and they're increasing the games.
Yeah, there is a player welfare type issue. Not necessarily saying there is right now, but there could be. But also, you are not going to get the best product if you play too many games and your players are injured half the time.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And if you play, you're not going to get the best product if you play more games in an international window, which is precisely what's going to have to happen when you expand the Premiership. They're going to play even more games in an international window.
Yeah.
And, you know, we love our rugby, and so that's why we're across the Premiership. But I think your average rugby fan probably watched no Premiership rugby this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, probably, we'll fool them, because it's very, exactly very little. Where the action is.
Well, no, I do understand, but, I agree, because but there are only so many hours in the day, and Six Nations is the Six Nations, so you've got to be realistic. It's just I think it's just the Premiership shooting itself in the foot.
Mm. Do you know who played on the wing for Leicester this weekend?
Ashton.
Ashy's back.
Ash Blush.
I'd tell you who looked very, very good is Guy... Is it Porter or Potter?
Porter. There's Guy, Potter. Guy Porter. Harry
and Guy.
Harry Potter.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very good. Yeah, you know, Leicester, I want to re-emphasise this, not affected by the international window, not because they don't lose players, just because... They're pretty bloody good.
They are actually a very good team.
16 points clear of Saracens now.
Yeah. Mm. You know, just look at the Joe Hayes, Julie Montoya, James Whitcomb.
22 points clear of fifth place.
Yeah, a monstrous season. Absolutely. I still think of these two teams, I really like Gloucester to win it, because they had some good big results against Exeter, but against Saracens.
Mate, top fours.
It's now slipping away.
It's slipping.
Why do we do this?
Still in their hands, but it's slipping, and yeah.
It's going to be Gloucester's year. I don't get it. Oh,
maybe next year.
Gloucester's year. Do you know why?
Go on.
Well, I don't know if it is yet, but something big is going to happen next week. Very big.
Monday morning meeting at Gloucester?
Bigger. Might be bigger. I'm going to go to King's Home this weekend. To watch Gloucester versus Northampton, which is huge.
Awesome.
It's huge for Gloucester. It's huge. So I had a choice. I've either got Bath, Bristol.
Oh, but I love that fixture. It's one of my favourite fixtures.
So here you go. Would you go to Bath, Bristol at the Rec?
Yes.
Two terrible teams. Mind you, being both so
it's
terrible.
Bath, Bristol.
Yeah.
Does Nathan Hughes get to play?
It's a good question.
He might
swing it for me.
He might be restricted.
But do they do that in rugby? Maybe they do. No, I would.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So two.
I've watched so many great. Well, when I lived in Bath, I went to a bunch of Bath Bristol games, and they are so spicy.
Mm. You think that one then?
It's really good. That would be the one I would go to.
Are you in that part of the world?
I'm in Cheltenham for the weekend.
Oh, very nice.
So I'll either go
Are you staying with Dimes?
I mean...
I am staying with Dimes, yeah.
It makes sense to go to Gloucester if you're in Cheltenham.
It does.
Go to Gloucester. It's just a taxi ride rather than a short trip rather than driving...
But it's not Bath, is it?
It's driving 45 minutes.
That's
No.
Can
you get more time to enjoy Cheltenham?
I've never been to Cheltenham. I played rugby there once, actually.
I can point you to Ollie Thorley's favourite restaurant.
Can you? Apparently...
Which he took me to.
Billy Burns' favourite pub is in Cheltenham.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Ulster legend Billy Burns.
You got me thinking now. So, thing is, I really like Saints and I really like Gloucester.
Oh,
that'll be a great game.
That'll be a great game. And you should go to King's Home because the atmosphere is brilliant. It's the 4G surface is great. It'll be really good rugby. You get to see Jamal.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. And Atkinson.
In fact, yeah, you get to see all of Phil's stand-ins.
Yeah,
yes.
on the one day basically. Courts won't be there. He might be there just watching.
Yeah, he might be. I don't think he bothers himself with the trivialities of club rugby during international windows. Or do you?
By the way, Northampton Saints have got themselves a couple of just like national treasures, haven't they?
They have. Why can't they win more games? Win more games. So massive for Gloucester next week.
Enormous.
It couldn't be any bigger for them.
That is huge.
So I expect the boys will be putting in an extra big performance.
Bathy Bristol is massive. It doesn't matter where they are in the league. That is, in fact, the way it was put by a Bristolian fan that we know well, friend of the pod, mm-hmm. He said, I don't care about the rest of the year as long as we beat Bath.
I don't think they are going to beat Bath, frankly.
Well, Ian Selway has emailed, contact headchasers@gmail.com. He says, He's basically said Bristol, the egg chaser's nemesis, as his subject line. I guess more opportunity to hate Bristol this week after yet again that truly awful team managed to once again ruin your weekly predictions.
They really did.
As a Bristol fan, can you keep predicting opposition wins as we seem to do better that week when you predict we will?
Yeah. I'm trying to find the fella here. Where has he gone?
Forever Bristol, says Ian.
Where's he gone? Ben. Is it Ben?
So last week when you predicted Bristol to win, they let you down big time. This week when you predict Wasps to win, Bristol step up to the plate.
Yeah, pretty much. And I tell you what, I watched Potts this game. Some of the rugby they played was outstanding, actually.
Yeah, and oddly, as I looked at it, when you looked just at the teams, you'd think, oh, Wasps are going to have an edge up front. Because they
exactly had. What I thought.
And Bristol battered Wasps up front.
Mm.
Yep.
That's where they won the game.
I'm just trying to find the guy who sent me a DM saying, how are your predictions going this week?
There are a lot, obviously.
I was like, yeah, I was going to save that as a little shout out.
There's obviously lots of the right kind of love this week at Bristol.
Do you know, the worst part about this was I was queuing up Black Eyed Peas' Where Is The Love for my Bristol 7 section. I can't. If they win, we know what the love is, don't we? Fine, whatever. Antoine Frisk looks like a good player.
Mm.
So he was at Roan before he came over to Bristol.
Oh, yeah, because he's English qualified as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
English mother, English father.
He looks really, really quite fast. Ridiculously fast. Some of the tries Bristol scored were sublime. And I'm amazed because I thought that, like Tim said, Wasps would absolutely pan them. They had why can't I remember the names? Jack and Tom.
Oh, Willis's.
Willis's.
A brace of Willis's.
A brace of Will-I.
Will-I.
Ready to go.
The Will-I.
It looked to me as if this would be a classic Wasps beatdown. But
yeah.
The Wasps couldn't really do it.
You could have made a joke then with Will-I, because Will-I, the Will-I and Will-I-Am was part of Black Eyed Peas. Where Is The Love?
Wow.
Damn it.
There's so many other songs you could play as well. Too Much Love Will Kill You by Queen.
There's a lot of loves going on at Bristol. This week, at least.
Rightly so, as well.
Talking of players and love and all the rest of it, and players that maybe some Bristol fans don't love anymore, Nathan Hughes has turned into a player worthy of paying. there's no two ways about it.
He's just this is for Bristol. Go on, carry on. This is a whole lot of love.
So I don't know what has happened at Bristol to make Nathan Hughes not be a good player, but he looks ace again. He really is a difference maker.
He's when he's been playing his best rugby, and he had a bit of it at Wasps and a bit of it at Bristol early days, and seemingly now, he's a hell of a player.
Isn't he? I just don't know. His heart must not have been in it at all at Bristol. There's a huge breakdown of trust or love. Or something.
Not enough love or too much love.
Something like that.
Who knows?
Yeah. I think Bath are going to keep him. Mm. I really think that Bath are going to keep him. I think they like what they see.
Hold on. They don't like what they see when they're just objectively when they look at his hair.
Yeah.
They do not like what they
you
see
there.
You
should have seen his hit. It was a yellow card hit in the end. I think it was borderline yellow card. But he just stops a man in his tracks. Like, just one of those shuddering, bone-crunching hits. Like, yeah, he's back.
It was
good to see.
Yeah,
yes.
Good over the ball, like just doing hard work, which we've not seen him do for a long time. Mm. He sort of cruised through a lot of games for Bristol. I think him leaving suits both policies just fine.
And this win for Bath, this is an important win
called
for
it.
Bath. The Newcastle is always a difficult place to go. They're a hard, well organised team, which is perhaps not something you can always say about Bath.
Mm.
But it is a good win.
And yeah.
I know in the context of the league, Bath are still down the bottom. There's no relegation, so it's kind of unimportant. But Bath have to start stringing some wins together. They've got to get the young guys playing well with a bit of confidence, because the league is not always irrelevant. Next season, it will be far more important.
Yeah, I'm unbelievably, relatively okay with Bath's prospects going forward. I know I say this every week. I don't know if you know about this kid. Have you heard about the kid they play at 12? Max Ojomo? Again,
I was thinking about him this weekend, watching England and watching the perhaps the Daly and Slade are great players, but then they're not being used in the right way, I feel, at the moment.
Yeah,
with that combination, I'm just not sure about it. Get a Jomo in.
I think he's different.
Get the kids in.
I think there's something special about him. Pretty good. I did laugh.
It's not that you think there's something special about him. It's self evident.
There is something special about him.
Yeah,
he's a quality player.
Yeah, but I think commentary teams need to start talking about him. They need to start selling him. He's absolutely amazing. I'll tell you another thing which I quite liked is they have given a lot of time to this kid, Ewan Richards. Now, I've not seen him play. I can't say I've seen him play, but I think this must be his third or fourth consecutive start.
Well, he dropped out of last week.
Did he?
Because, yeah, I think he was injured.
But they don't really have anyone else.
But there again, to be 19, racking up Premiership experience is nothing.
He's
to
good.
Be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they did the same thing with Charlie Yules. Charlie Yules is playing number 8 against Toulouse at age 18.
Tight head eight,
yeah. Now, you know, he's not exactly what I hope all Orlocks turn into, but... just a lot of kids getting a lot of experience.
And it's funny on Charlie Yules. He must be much, much better than a lot of fans consider him to be.
Well,
he must be.
I have heard, right, he is an unbelievable talker.
I've heard he's very, very good work ethic and training as well.
He works hard. He's like exactly what you want.
Model pro.
He's what you want on paper. Says the right things, talks in the right way. Think Stuart Hooper. That's kind of what we're looking at here. Which is, you know, absolutely fine for Premiership rugby. Maybe not most... He is who he is, isn't he?
He's an international lock.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nearly scored a try this weekend.
Yeah.
Nearly. It's hard to get excited about him, but yeah, Ewan Richards is. It looks like it must be quite exciting. You don't play as a 19-year-old second row unless you must. You're quite good,
unless your skipper's with England. Your McNally is injured.
That's only two of them. And you need four locks, don't you?
Mike Williams.
What?
Injured.
Ellis.
Mike Williams played last
slots
week
in sometimes.
Ellis and the other one is your
Spencer.
He's a monster. By the way, that's a guy who has really fallen from grace. On the edge of the England team with Worcester, goes to Leicester.
Yeah,
not great. Still not great at Bath, to be honest.
Yeah, a bit disappointing, really.
Really disappointing because I did think he was going to be awesome. Mm. He looks like a proper hard man too.
He's a big bloke.
Has he been at a team that's been doing well in the league? Because it's Worcester, Leicester during their awful period, and now Bath.
Yeah, it's one of those things like if you're the
so
one.
You're saying he's causing.
No, not what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
Will, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. If you're smaller, maybe. If it's always you falling out with people, maybe the problem isn't other people.
Yeah. So, you got to ask the question.
Yeah, exactly. So I had no idea that you felt that way about Will Spencer.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A good win for Bath. They win two more games. They might start climbing the table, unbelievably.
They're
one win behind Worcester.
Few more wins.
Who are actually doing pretty well for themselves by Worcester standards.
Worcester not doing bad, and on Friday night they'll be disappointed. They got nothing out of this game.
They got
three tries and they were 8 points away, so not even a losing bonus point.
This is one of the most exciting games I've seen in the Premiership for a while now. Now, I watched this over over some beef brisket in a restaurant, in an American-themed restaurant with my brothers and our other halves. So I watched the whole thing with no sound on.
Your phone?
I was in a chain of bars called Hickory's.
Which
is like an American-themed type bar, which is fine for me because everyone could eat and I could watch the rugby. Even without the sound on, it was brilliant. And Seb Atkinson.
Yeah.
Did you see his pass?
Yes.
Oh, my word. So, we just fast forward with Worcester. Good management now. Nice little array of coaches there who are mostly proven. And then you've got this threesome of Finn Smith. If Seb Atkinson is half the player that he looked on the weekend.
Yeah, he looks nice. He's only 19 as well, isn't he?
Yeah, and then Ollie Lawrence. And he's big as well.
Yeah.
So you might have one of the most talented non-Max Adjomo midfields there in the country. Out of nowhere.
Young, talented non-Max Adjomo.
Yeah.
I mean, how talented can it really be if Max Adjomo was not in there?
Exactly right. Max Adjomo is so talented, he makes Cameron Redpath look ordinary. That's amazing.
Thomas Horsnett-Morris is a Worcester fan who was watching the game on Friday night. And I just picked up on this, and it's occasionally... There are moments when you're watching when you feel like you're the only person in the world that spotted something that no one else has spotted.
Oh, go on.
And he says, you could say I'm being picky. You could say there were worse calls going on in the game. But this was a call made when the ball was dead and the team of officials had time to make the correct call. 1 minute 30 into Worcester v Quinns. Worcester kicked from well inside their own half. The ball bounced and went into touch around the Quinns 22. The decision was that the ball went dead before the 22, therefore not a 50-22. However, Quinns shuffled and took the line out inside their 22, which then enabled them to kick directly to touch. Ooh. To alleviate the pressure.
That's interesting.
And Thomas was the only person.
Well,
it was like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
How can, yeah. It's
one or the other.
Yeah, great spot. So a few comments from this game. First and foremost, just building on comments from Caden Murley versus Lewis Liner. I've decided that these two are the most aggressive wing pairing in the Premiership.
They do hit the Lewis Liner hit on, was it Finn Smith? No, it was Hurl. From a box kick was beautiful.
Yeah.
Thing of absolute these beauty.
I don't think either of them will ever do anything in the Hill. International
ranks. It was Finn Smith, I think.
I think they are going to be great club players. In fact, they are already great club players.
That will not be true for Lewis Liner, because if it doesn't happen with England, he's got Italy or Australia.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is I don't think their style of play lends itself particularly well to internationals.
I disagree on Lewis Liner.
I don't know. Are they not the same thing? Which is like they're so aggressive the way they hit contact. The way Lewis Liner is a little bit more wingery than Murley. But
he's got Aussie outside centre wing 12 fullback sort of James O'Connery type player written all over him. I think.
I don't know.
I think Liner has a little bit more X factor.
Murley just decides, right, I'm going to run over you. Lowers the boom. You can't do that in international rugby.
I don't think Louis Liner should play for England. I think he's more of an Aussie. He's more of an Aussie player.
Why do you think that?
Because Australia are very good at utilising skill sets rather than having people in certain types in certain positions. That's a very English way to go.
Absolutely mental. Now.
And just, can you think Kirtley Beale, Tamua?
Yeah, but he's not
James
one of those.
O'Connor.
He doesn't have that.
I think he.
Do you know the guy who reminds me of Moore? And again, I apologise because this is insane, and like no one's gonna. I'm gonna be laughed out of town by Aussie fans. But I think he reminds me of like a Pat McCabe, which is not particularly skillful, but hits like a hammer, tries hard. you know, hits way above his weight, carries above his weight, just more of a, he's not a physical specimen, but just his, the power that he can affect when he hits contact for a relatively small fella
just
is amazing.
Just on that international point, I think this is where the X factor and the reading of the game and just having moments is relevant, because who was the fella at Northampton who did nothing when he was at Saints in the Premiership, really? And then he became like the first Australian to score in every one of his first seven test matches.
Yes, the winger.
Slightly red hair winger.
Yeah, yeah. Huh? He's playing at the moment.
I can't remember his name now.
An Australian winger?
Yes. Yeah, he played last season.
He was at Northampton and did very little when he was here. Perfectly serviceable player, but this is my point. You can't... There is an element where I do agree with Eddie Jones. There are test match animals.
Yeah, and I think the thing which I think you're trying to say, I think, is Lewis Lynam tends to make a lot of his own luck. Like, and he makes it just by...
Andrew Kellaway.
I would not have got that in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said this about the game he played against Sale last season. As soon as he comes on, he's hunting for work, he's making things happen, people get better around him. There is that. I still like Murley a little bit more, though. I think Murley for the Premiership is just a wonderful fit.
Murley's a great Premiership player.
Yeah.
I think Lynam has the potential to be more than that, but we will see.
What else did I like about this game? Archie White, big fan of Archie White. Although, I felt that...
Archie White played well.
Yeah. At 8, I was not expecting him to play well at all. And I was a little bit worried that he's going to be overcome by the Worcester back row.
Is he the son of like the chairman of the club or something like that?
I don't know.
I'm not suggesting nepotism at all, because he's clearly a very good player.
But he played really nicely in a trio of Evans and Dombrandt. So that was like the three... which I think got Quinns on a roll last season.
Yeah, it's more balanced.
Yeah, I think he might have got injured, or he's just not quite. But yeah, he was doing very, very well. Now he's come back into the squad and he's doing some solid work again.
Matt, you just mentioned a couple of names there. When they've got Evans and the fella that was in the England squad.
Kenningham. I love Kenningham.
Kenningham, Evans, Dombrandt.
Well, they like Lorde. They love Lorde.
Lorde played really well in this game.
Lorde
was
Chisholm.
Great.
They think they give him an extra bit of go forward. I think Kenningham is a beast, an absolute beast. Just smashed things for fun. And Evans was probably the best flanker in the league until he got injured.
He's so useful for his work on the ground as well.
They've got a lot of options in the back row. Probably one of the deepest back rows actually, and with the most. widest range of skill sets, they're third, a few points ahead of Exeter.
Yes, 3 points ahead, so that Quinns are on 53. Exeter, this is another, they had to win last week and they ground it out. They had to win this week, they ground it out. They scored 17 points or
I missed this game. Do you know why? Because Brian O'Driscoll told me the wrong time. So Brian,
you rely on the app, and it lets you down time and time again.
Brian told me it was a 3 o'clock kickoff. And by the way, from now on, it's not going to be Ultimate Rugby's fault. It's going to be Brian O'Driscoll's fault until he personally fixes every single thing on this app.
When the Six Nations game's on, it's always an earlier kickoff.
I thought that, so I checked it. And Brian told me 3 o'clock. So I went out for a walk. I thought I'd rather watch Exeter Northampton than watch Italy.
And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. If you can only watch one Premiership game in a weekend, then the Sunday one is brilliant, because you get an hour of highlights building up to the game. Then in this case, you get an awesome game, and then you get rugby tonight afterwards.
Couldn't be more angry. Could not be more angry.
Northampton 31, Exeter 34. And Exeter were a few points up at half-time. But like you say, Phil, they had to dig themselves out of a little hole.
With another 19-year-old lock.
Another one, so Jenkins.
Yep.
Yeah. He's played the last few games, hasn't he?
And Pearson coming off the bench.
Do you know the one who I like for Exeter? And I've spoken about him before, but Capstick. I think Capstick's very good. I'm not sure if they know how to use him properly yet, whether it be at 8 or at 7. But
he's like 7 in a sort of Don Armand role.
He's not, you know, he's a bit too skinny and a bit too fast. So he's more, he might not quite James Forrester levels of skill, but he's, you know, it's hard to sort of pin him exactly what he is. Don Armand can bang. That's what Don Armand loves to do, right? This guy is a little bit more athletic, a little bit quicker,
a little bit leaner.
Yeah. Nowhere near as hard.
I tell you who I quite like, Eogan, the loose head prop for Northampton.
Yeah.
And there was one scrum in particular where they, for the Augustus try, where they just turned it on and totally tore apart that.
Do you remember when he was like the last guy available in the world for Saints?
Yeah.
He was 19. He played
in like a European Cup game against...
That's the one.
It was like a Toulouse or something. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
Some awesome team.
Yeah, this is what I love about the Premiership. I love it when there's young lads that come through, start making a name for themselves, whether it be a Jomo, this guy, Atkinson.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many good... I mean, I don't really know when the league had so many good young English prospects in it, actually. Because there are legitimately absolutely loads at the moment.
Loads.
Even the two wingers that we mentioned for Quinns, both English qualified, are a bit older, granted. But
well, Lyon is only 21.
What's...
Merley maybe 23, 24?
Yeah.
They're not old.
They're, Reed scored another blistering try just with raw pace again this weekend.
Well, the Josh Hodge.
Yeah. Did he get one?
Yeah, did you not see his try from 50 yards? Now, that was a weird try because it was just a line-out move on the left. I think it was a line-out. Two passes, and he beats with a pass, Tom Collins, and then from 50 yards, he just runs in because the Northampton defence has not read it at all.
Oh.
Skosen as the blindside winger is not covering back, and Furbank is covering the outside man, so covering is either O'Flaherty or Woodburn on the right wing. But it meant that just with one missed tackle in midfield, Josh Hodge could accelerate for 50 yards.
Did he score a worldie against Newcastle? Last week, I'm sure he did something very special.
He took a great shot to the head.
Yeah, I did see that bit from Callum Chick, but I'm sure he did something else pretty good.
And Hodge, he is putting on weight.
Thank God.
He still needs to put on a bit more, but he is looking a bit bigger and stronger. Mm. Not yet a big strong boy.
Not yet.
Still an SSB.
So next week, we have got some games. Let's get into them.
Let's do it.
Right. Harlequins, Newcastle. Harlequins at home, I would say.
Quins.
Yeah. Saturday.
It's a bit concerning how Newcastle's season is following exactly the same story as last year.
Completely imploding, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously that caused Dean Richards to use the F word last week in an interview. Favouritism.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Which got a three-game ban.
Do you hear what Dimes said? Dimes was not a happy boy. He said, I've got a few Dean Richards quotes, but I'll keep them to myself. You know what happens when you criticise the refs.
Yeah, and he also said that he'd consider sending out someone else to talk to the media if he thought he might get himself in trouble.
I'll do it. Give me a call,
Dimes.
Like
Chemical Alley for
give me a call.
So next game.
Right, what would be the plan though? Just send in, you know, like the concussion boys,
would he be sending someone else to go in and say the angry stuff so he doesn't get banned, or is he sending someone in who's just going to straight back
give me a ball?
We're focused on the next game.
No, get me the most wound one game up at a time. Fan that they can find. This guy's going to do the media today.
Do you remember when they used to have fan cam on the red button?
But the problem with that is, the problem with the fan cam was like they were trying to be so funny. Yeah. They either came in with their one-liners. Like, I don't know, I can't think of any one line at the moment, but it was so preemptive. And actually, they weren't allowed to be real fans, were they? Because they weren't allowed to, like, F and Jeff or, you know, do what they usually do. Hmm. Right.
Next fixture.
Bristol-Bath.
Bath-Bristol.
Winner keeps Nathan Hughes. Or loser keeps Nathan Hughes.
Loser pays for him, winner gets him to play.
Yeah. The kind of dysfunctional prize that suit both of these teams. Yeah. Don't know.
Come on, JB. Bet against Bristol.
Bath. Ajomo, Hughes,
Cipriani.
Ooh. Do you know, it made me laugh today when I was looking at the highlights and I was reading the teams again. I was like, they got this lad to win the league. They thought this was the missing piece. They thought that this would actually get them over the hump to win the playoffs. What on earth? Bath.
The Bristol fans will be happy.
This is, I love this fixture. Bristol.
Give me Bath.
Ooh. Gloucester, Northampton, the game that I will be attending. First time down in the shed.
Nice.
Gloucester.
Yeah, I'll be practicing that. I don't know. I mean, I will be rooting for Gloucester.
Give me Gloucester.
But if Courts, well, how would you be feeling if, you know, you got Jamal on one side, great friend of the pod, and Mark Atkinson's
tough one, isn't it?
Then you got Courts on the other team. It's a good job Courtney's not involved. Otherwise, your loyalty.
I would
be split.
Go and watch Bristol Bath. That's what I do.
Yeah, out of respect for all of them.
Exactly. I can't wait for this. It's the first Premiership non-sale game I've been to for. Well, I can't remember the last one that I went to actually, which didn't involve sale. So I'm really excited to go to this. Gloucester will win it. Simple as that.
Yeah, give me Gloucester. London Irish, Worcester, that's going to be a draw.
Yeah. Yep, straightforward draw there again.
Irish,
but with a bonus point, I think.
Irish bonus point. Mind,
yeah,
and again, I keep pointing it out, if there are tickets available, the next few weeks, the next few home games for Irish are going to be dynamite. Those Harlequins and Saracens games on Paddy's Day and the week after.
Mm. Let's be honest, though, this team is box office to watch.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, they are awesome at the moment. Mm. In fact, I would say if I was going to spend my money to watch a team at the moment, it would be London Irish.
Go to the Brentford Stadium?
Do that.
Yes.
Saracens Leicester. Bloody hell, that's a good game.
That's going to be a good game.
Where'd that come from? Borthwick Bowl. The Ashton Bowl.
I think Saracens are powerful. I love their front row. I love their Six Nations front row is what I'm trying to tell you. But I tell you what, I also love Leicester's Six Nations front
Saracens row. Saracens v Leicester. I've forgotten the name of the
Stonex.
Stonex Stadium.
Leicester are going to win it.
Ooh.
Leicester are going to win it. Noah Toji. Like, I think Leicester outclass them in the second row, in the back row, and I think their front row is about evens. And because they're younger, less established names, with the exception of Montoya, who is ace.
They get Tompkins back if they want him.
One of the best signings in the last 2 years.
They get Andy Christie back if they want him.
Get on, boy.
I'm going to go Saracens at home. That is going to be tight, though.
I think Leicester are going to sneak this. I think they've found a way to win in so many tight games this season. I think they're going to do it again.
I agree.
On Sunday, Chiefs host Sale.
I think Sale smash them. I think if Chiefs show up with the pack that they've been winning games with recently.
This is one of those fixtures. It's just not. Oh man, this is huge game. This is a massive game, and we're not having the internationals that we deserve.
Yeah, I don't think that this Exeter pack can withstand what Sale will be bringing. Simple as that.
Give me Chiefs.
Are you nuts?
I'm going Sale.
Sale.
You two need it to be Sale if they're going to make. Well, if they're going to win the league.
I wouldn't. I love Exeter as a club. It's an amazing club. I love it.
Come on.
Purely for my ego, Sale winning would be handy.
Likewise.
Having predicted them to win the whole thing. But
yeah, so hang on. Let's look at this. I predicted Sale and Exeter because I like those two teams. Bristol, that's not happening. It's not happening.
Unlikely.
And London Irish.
London Irish
are going to do it.
Irish could do it.
But so that would mean Saracens and Harlequins dropping out of the top four as it currently is constituted for me to get three of my teams in.
It's not happening.
That seems unlikely.
It does seem unlikely. Yeah. I can't believe how massively I underestimated Saracens.
Yes. I was very surprised when neither of you picked them to be in the top four.
I put them fifth, yeah.
But I said Bristol were going to win the whole thing, so...
Mind you, they have lost five...
I know nothing.
They have lost five games.
Sorry.
That's a lot of games to lose. So, anyway. I am going to say Sale really do put the hammer down on Exeter. And also, I think Sale are hurting after the last trip to Sandy Park. They're going to really want to put that right.
They got their mojo, that's for sure.
Any more for any more?
Did you see your beloved Blues against my beloved Hurricanes?
No, I was going to watch them, going to attempt to watch some Super Rugby, but I didn't even get around to Googling it. How does one watch Super Rugby at the moment?
I didn't watch it live. I think you have to pay for it through, I think it's through Sanzar, but I don't know what outlet.
Oh, right. Well, that's 100% never going to happen. I always spend enough on the Rainbow Cup or whatever
Premier,
it is.
Yeah, Premier Sports.
Yeah, so I'm not spending any more.
But the game...
Go on.
So I've not actually seen the highlights of it yet, but what I do know is that your beloved Blues were 18 points up.
Get in, finally.
With 10 minutes to go.
Yes, and go on.
The Hurricanes scored 19 unanswered points to win by 1 point.
Oh, my word.
So that sounds like an amazing game for my beloved Hurricanes.
Yeah. Well, I'm heartbroken. I'm absolutely heartbroken.
I'll segue into this email by James Sage just before we go by saying I finally got around to watching Drive to Survive, which you said I should, JB.
Oh, is he a massive petrol head now?
Yeah, well, this is it.
You or him?
No, no, I did.
You're a massive petrol head.
I've started watching it, and I don't care about cars.
No. Nope.
I've never been interested in Formula One.
You are now, though, aren't you?
That is a game changer.
Do you want to come to Silverstone this year?
I'm not ready to be a fan going to... No.
Which series have you watched?
I've watched the first two.
They're brilliant, aren't they?
They're absolutely awesome. It's a complete game changer. I'm now invested in the people involved. I get the storylines.
Who's your favourite?
I like the kind of mixture of humility and total arrogance of Ricardo. I really like Christian Horner. The fact he just
Horner's ace, isn't he?
He's brilliant. He likes poking the bear.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant. So my point being, it is a game changer, and apparently the viewing figures off the back of that alone are just spiked massively.
It's awesome.
It's brought many people. And if I watched it enough to care, and I do not care about F1 or cars in general. My thought there was a rugby version of that.
Tell you what, a Sunday watching the F1
like a Six Nations one. Can you imagine cameras everywhere, all action, and you really get into the niggle of the rivalry between these nations and the history and the...
Just following the French camp.
So good.
6 weeks would be amazing.
Oh, it would be awesome.
Episodes of French... The build-up for the Six Nations and then the games. It'd be just amazing.
Well, you could have a half-an-hour episode. Oh, just please, just do something like this for rugby. Because what we have got in rugby are brilliant characters, history, genuine passion. But you just got interesting guys who would say fun things. And if we can capture
that... Not as
fun
as race drivers, though. Race drivers are different.
I mean, it's cool. It's like fighter pilots, isn't it? It's just cool what they do.
My favourite by far was Roman Grosjean. Just crashing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just never stops crashing.
Yeah, when their heads are gone, it's mad. But on to James Sage's email. He says, I fully support the need for more and better content from Premiership rugby and clubs. We talked about this quite a lot, about growing the game. I wanted to raise the video by Bristol Bears around the re-signing of Chris Vui and Pat Lamb's explanations of his strengths, etc. I don't think I've ever seen this from a DOR, and even being strictly neutral about the Bears, thought of the opportunities we may have missed. Steve Diamond explaining why he needed another massive South African. Alan Solomon at the Solomons talking us through the upbringing of his stock of second rows. I'm just curious if you guys missed it, but thought it was a step forward and so much better than that video alongside the signing of Ellis Genge. It was very good. I will concur with that.
I don't think I saw it.
I've not seen that one.
No,
The Genge one, we spoke about it, was a bit weird.
It was odd.
That another club's club captain was going to...
Yeah. And wearing their stash.
Well, he didn't actually wear... I don't think he wore their stash.
He wore Umbro.
It was non-branded, though, yeah. But he was at the training ground hugging Pat Lamb.
Yeah,
that is weird.
But it was good. But my general point is there is so much more we can do, and there's so many stories we can tell.
Somebody said something to me, and I think it's a good bet. The next Premiership head of comms, this is so inside baseball, will be Tom Tainton. That's what I strongly believe. Because if you think about the body of work he's done for Bristol Bears, like, just it's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Like, the Premiership Rugby need some help in their comms department, to put it mildly. Very, very mildly.
You should be the next director of comms.
I should be the next director of comms, actually.
Would you be comms director or director of comms?
What would I be?
Well, what I would say on that is, Tom Tayton at Bristol is a lovely man. Very, very good at his job. But equally, I would say that Steve-O at Exeter Chiefs is an awesome head of comms. He is awesome. Not because he does the best memes and he's up to speed on current...
He knows how to handle a crisis.
Current Twitter trends. He is so transparent.
Mm.
So I don't think he'd mind. Okay, so all I can say is he will give information to... So if I called him up in the week of a game, he would give me information which some clubs might not give.
That's how you won fancy rugby draft.
Is this right? Is this right?
Should I make a trade for Don Armand this week, Steve-O?
Well. And here's me befriending the England captain to get my tips, but you've been weaseling away with the comms guys, have you?
He's just... I started the podcast about... I started this podcast talking about transparency. He's just unbelievably transparent. But back to the point on Drive to Survive. Yes, entertaining people that are already into rugby on Twitter with funny content is great.
Yeah.
But we've got to think bigger than that.
100%.
Reach outside. And the fact, I'm just going back to that. I never cared about Formula One. I understand. I'm interested. I want to know more about some of the people involved.
Yeah, I wouldn't
know. And I might actually watch a Grand Prix.
Oh, the Grand Prix's a race. They are ace. I got, just like you, got obsessed by it. But then I started watching YouTube clips of like rallies and all sorts of bits and pieces. I love it. Can't get enough of it now.
So there you go, rugby. That's your challenge.
Yep, there you go.
But just before we finish, one email that I want to mention.
Okay, please.
I'm going to pronounce your last name wrong, Edward. So apologies, but Edward Chibozo, I think he's pronounced, who... Two important points. One about watching Cass versus Wrestling 92.
You missed his first point.
His first point. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Point number two. he comments on the size of Rory Popeye Cockart's left forearm. I think he's got enormous... I think both of his forearms are absolutely enormous.
You have one forearm slightly larger, though.
There might maybe one slightly larger.
Interesting.
They are noticeable forearms.
Interesting. That is interesting.
But another thing that he does mention... So he's from Chicago and involved in Chicago Riot Rugby Club. So he says next time we are...
What a cool name for a club, Chicago Riot.
Yeah.
Love that.
Next time we're in town, which... I'd love to go back to Chicago. He'll take us out for a few good Negronis. And since atrociously flavoured booze is our kink, it's only right that we get introduced to Malort. Do you know what Malort is?
No, but I want to.
So it's a Chicago brewed Basque liquor.
Yes.
So Basque, which is a Swedish style spiced wormwood. Or anise.
That sounds awful. I'll have two.
So that would be wonderful, Edward.
Yeah. Sorry, there is one last thing. There's a good chance that our game in Portugal is going to be off now.
Yes, that does seem likely because it's Portugal-Russia.
Yeah, it shows there are real-world consequences to this conflict.
that sounds incredibly callous and
sorry. Joke, clearly a joke.
I will say this though. There are some things which I really dislike. Number one is,
or it will make it even more entertaining to go and watch. That's the flip side of it.
This game is not being played. So they've cancelled the Georgia game.
Well, it's postponed officially.
Yeah, but it's cancelled.
It's not happening.
That Russia team. They can't fly there.
No, they can't fly. We'll just say if they end up getting relegated as a result of not being able to fulfil fixtures in the league below.
Ukraine are in tier three.
It's just awful. It's all. I mean, do you know what really got me though today? And actually, since all this has kicked off, the amount of people that just put flags on their bio without actually, you know, no skin in the game. It's just such an easy throwaway thing to do. But World Rugby, right? I went to have a look about World Rugby's policy on, you know, what's going to happen to Russia. And it caveats whatever's going to happen to Russia with World Rugby totally condemns armed conflict. It's like, what? Why do we need to know what World Rugby thinks of armed conflict? What a statement.
It's unlikely they were going to condone it.
Yeah. World Rugby have got a long-standing policy of condoning armed conflict. Yeah. What?
Hold on, they've been doing those posts all the last few years while we've been bombing Yemen. They've been posting that every week, JB.
It's bizarre. One of the bizarrest people in rugby, right, is the guy who sold the takeaway company to whoever he sold it to, David Buttress of the Dragons. Have you ever seen... There is not a single event in the world that he has not taken a stance on. The latest one is he stands in full solidarity with Ukraine. Does he really now? Like, the man's a multimillionaire. I wonder if he's going to put some money forward to pay for some mercenaries to go over, or is he just going to post his Ukrainian flag and that will be that?
Oh, but
there is not a single thing that he has not come across recently which he doesn't need to take a stance on. Like, just run the rugby club. Run the rugby club and shut up. I wish he'd shut up. That's what I wish. I wish the CEO of Dragons would shut up. Moron.
I will just say, Google Rory Cockott's left arm.
Oh, yeah. That looks weird.
That looks like he might have had a operation or something.
He reminds me of...
Edward, you're absolutely right.
Nadal.
Yeah, Nadal definitely used to be really pronounced.
I watched a video of a guy who had oversized arms and hands, and he looks like that. The guy who's like one of the best arm wrestlers in the world was born with a genetic thing which meant he had these just enormous arms and hands.
He does have... Yeah, his left forearm is bigger. Looking at these pictures, I mean, that one does look like something.
He's got
an unnatural bulge.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Interesting.
Is that something in your arm, or are you just pleased to see me?
Hey.
Right, on that bombshell.
I was going to go through last 10. Maybe even 30 David Buttress tweets, which are just...
Why are you doing this to yourself, JB?
I just can't believe it. The guy's a millionaire. If he feels so strong about it, send some money over.
What?
Send some money over.
Well, this is kind of it. And this
hypocrite.
Is one of the reasons I don't bother with Twitter anymore is I have lots and lots of opinions about things. I just don't feel the need to share all of them with everybody all of the time.
I mean, I might want one side to win more than the other. It's not a sports contest. He's treating it like he's an actual fan. Like he's a member of the Ukraine fan club. It's absolute. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, at least buy a flag, not just post a picture of a flag. A lot of people that did go to the football this weekend bought a flag.
Yeah, well, he's tweeted about that too. Where are we now? Like, I must be on 30 odd tweets. It just is another ending. It's never ending. He's never ending.
Well, let's end that and this podcast.
I'm gonna have a section on this podcast called Buttress Watch, where we just go through what he's been up to this week.
I can't wait for the day you just like flick around and Sky News go and David, what's David Buttress said about this current situation?
I can't get enough of it.
Right. Thank you very much for listening. It's very late and Phil's already had a skinful, so yesterday.
Yesterday.
It needs to get to bed.
Yes, I do.
Let the boys play.
I always play.